This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Hey everybody, before we start this episode, I wanted to make sure you were aware that we are doing a giveaway in partnership with Greenwood Tulum to stay up to 5 nights in an Airbnb in Tulum, Mexico. Now, all the information's on our site. We'll link to that in the show notes, but make sure that you follow us and follow our newsletter to get the inside scoop on these different things. This giveaway ends May 31st. All right, off to the episode. Today, we're diving into the world of points and miles with a guest who's been playing this game from the time he was born, in the 80s. Yes, you heard that right. With us today is Adam Garrett, a maestro in the art of maximizing credit card rewards. Imagine being swaddled in airline miles and hotel points instead of your typical baby blanket. Well, Adam has seen it all. He's done it all. Make sure you don't miss his incredible advice on how he's setting his own newborn up for credit success as well. So buckle up, tune in, and discover how you too can jet set around the globe, savvy style, with the insights from a true expert in the world of points and miles.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome everybody to this week's episode of the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. I've got a great guest with me today, Adam Garrett. Adam is an OG in the points and miles game. He's been doing this for longer than most people that I know. And we are privileged to have his wealth of expertise available to us and to you today to listen to. So Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So before we get into it, I want to mention to the listeners, don't forget, we love questions and feedback. So if you have a question, feel free to shoot us a DM on Instagram or shoot us an email at our email address, support@boldlygo.world. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to get updated on all the latest episodes. And as you know, you can watch these full episodes on YouTube on our channel at Boldly Go World as well. So, Adam, you and I have some history when it comes to the points and miles game. And specifically, I'm going to say that you were probably, and you may not know this, you were actually probably a major catalyst to me really diving in as deeply as I did. And I know in previous episodes, I think maybe episode one or two, I talked about being a financial advisor, running a practice, helping clients and them asking me what are good cards for travel and things like that. That's really what got me into starting to research. But you and I had a run-in in 2016, and I know this because the Chase Sapphire Reserve had just came out, and I believe it was fall of that year. And we somehow got into talking about points and miles, and you started breaking down strategies to me over a cocktail. And I was like, oh my goodness, there is so much more to this world than I realized. And I was fortunate because the Chase Sapphire Reserve had just came out. You said you should get this card. I got that card back when it had 100,000 point signup bonus, which I've only ever seen once in the 8 years. One other time in the 8 years since that I first got that card. And that's what really started my journey in points and miles. So Adam, I would love for you to introduce yourself, who you are, tell the guests, and we're going to jump into this thing because I know you have a wealth of knowledge, and I'm excited to unpack your level, your strategies, and the listeners to get to hear this one.
Appreciate that. Yeah, it's been, like you said, it's been a long time since this has started, and it really started when I was a little kid. But before getting into that, just share a little bit about who I am. I'm a real estate agent in the Southeast Virginia area. Primarily, that's my full-time gig. And then on the side, I also run the credit card acquisitions, spending strategies, and then usage for the real estate firm of over 100 agents that I work with. One that my dad is in charge of, Garrett Realty Partners.
Very nice. Very nice. So, I mean, you have that means you have access to a pretty large world when it comes to credit card points, all those different things. So you said that this started as a kid. Would you care to elaborate how the journey goes back that far?
Yeah. So I was born in 85. My dad got his first Amex in 1980. And he was using his personal spending and business spending to maximize points, essentially. So he, the SPG card that used to be available that essentially got three Marriott Bonvoy rewards per dollar spent, that used to be his bread and butter when it existed. When I came on the scene later on, we would do travel as, whether it was for his work where he would go to conferences or as a family, like we traveled to London and other parts of the country. And it was fantastic using points that were, from spending that was already happening and just maximizing it. So I grew up in that. And then later on, I met my wife. I was at the time in grad school at Regent University in Virginia Beach. And at that point, neither one of us were all that young. We were, both getting up there in age. And so it was important that I was able to get better prepared for a family. And because she was the first girlfriend that I ever had, I really wanted my first girlfriend to be my last girlfriend. And I was able to kind of hit the jackpot with her. So essentially, we, really hit it off relatively quickly. We didn't get married until 4 years later, but one of the reasons why it took a bit was because I wasn't in that great of a place financially at the time. I was taking on student loans, didn't have a job, full-time student. And so it was important that I get in a better place financially. So I was able to get a job as a youth minister and also start at Garrett Realty Partners. And I was also, as I was thinking about, getting better in finances, thinking about credit, thinking about maximizing rewards. I'd never really gotten into credit cards before then, but when I actually had an incentive to be able to do things, not just for myself, but also for my wife, thinking about future kids, really got a lot better with credit first so that I could purchase a house. And second, I was able to use that better credit so that I could then go and maximize the points. And it's something that started off kind of slowly, where it was first just all about cash back, no annual fee cards. And then it grew over time to something that I never thought that I would be doing because I just didn't really care that much about finances. So, but there was an actual incentive once I met my wife. To be able to provide better for her, for family, et cetera. I had been kind of banking on my dad's points for a long time. Like, for instance, there was a time in 2007 when I went to India where he flew me in either business or first class to India because I had a bad back and he did it on points. There was just plenty of other times when he used his points that I could go on, especially like mission trips. So like the thing in India, that was mostly me spending time doing qualitative research and teaching qualitative research in a charitable Christian hospital there. And so there was just, tons of times where I kind of banked on his points without ever really having it as my own thing, until very later on after I met my wife. So after I met my wife, started with the, you know, no annual fee cashback cards, then gradually acquired more and more cards, started with some annual fee cards where it actually made sense. And today I have like over 30 cards from a wide variety of things and a wide variety of institutions. And it's really something now that I never thought it would be, but I'm really glad for just all the ways I'm able to maximize with my own spending. Plus my, I've got player two as my wife and player three as my dad, where we kind of work together to have a combined strategy that would be better than it, than any of us just as a solo individual.
So that's super cool, Adam. And like you're, the background history that you have is, I'm going to say it's fairly unique and probably pretty rare, because of all the creators and content generators out there that talk on this, I don't think I've ever heard a single person that's mentioned that they grew up in this space, right? Most people, I think, have probably come to learn about it roughly in the same timeline as me, more or less, maybe the last 12 years, probably on the higher end, and you know, a year or two on the lower end. But I mean, you were really experiencing the points and miles lifestyle in probably the late 80s and 90s. And I mean, just to say that you had a bad back and so your dad flew to India on points in 2007 is a huge testament to that. Now, I've got to make sure, because I know the listeners probably heard, oh my God, 30 cards. So Adam, can you confirm for us what I already know and am positive of, right? Because you just said that you worked and you built your credit up. These 30 cards, did you just tank your credit? I mean, it's got to be in the gutter right now, right?
No. If I were to pull up my credit score right now on some of the accurate, you know, like relatively accurate places like Experian.com, it would probably be in the upper 70s, if not over 800.
Nice. Very nice. And that's exactly what I figured. Right?
Sorry, upper 700s, if not, you know, lower 800.
I when you said 70, I think I knew exactly what you meant. So no worries there.
That.
Yeah, no worries at all. All right. So high 700s, low 800s, which is really typical of the average, you know, points and miles user card enthusiast. And we talk all the time, right? If you have a strategy, you're not incurring insane amounts of debts, you're paying these cards off, and you're not just opening and then canceling the cards, you know, a month or two later, your score is going to be fine, if not actually improve.
And that actually, that leads to one thing that I just recently did. I my son was born about 8 weeks ago or so.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And one thing that I did for his credit was actually to give him cards as authorized users. So now he's an authorized user on around like a dozen cards. That way it'll build up his credit age. So it'll, as long as there are no missed payments or anything, it's exclusively positive benefits. And I don't have any missed payments on my, you know, credit report. So as long as the people that are, you know, doing it are, you know, like that, then it's fantastic for someone else's credit. And something like utilization, let's say, you know, something happened and he was on someone's credit card, like, you know, for instance, we wouldn't do this, but let's say utilization was high on a card. All you have to do is cancel that card for him, and it's only one out of like 10, doesn't have any negative impact. So he would just have that positive credit history. And another thing too that can happen is if you have a really high limit, it can make it harder for someone with a low income, someone, you know, like a kid getting in college at 18 to get new cards. So all you would have to do is cancel that card, but it would still positively impact his credit score.
That's awesome. And so, I mean, unlike the majority of us that got our first credit card as an adult, or, you know, our parents said, hey, credit cards are bad. You know, Dave Ramsey says credit cards are bad, whatever it may be. So we've avoided them. I mean, your son's going to come in having a credit score as an adult, having a length of credit history. I mean, his average age of credit is going to be utterly insane. by the time he's, you know, a young adult, which means that this is just all, like you said, just incredible positive benefits. I love that strategy. That's huge. And
thank you.
No one's talking about things like that. So I'm glad you brought that idea up for the listeners as well. My fiance and I, we are in the no kids or dual income, no kids with a dog life. So I don't think we'll be using that one, but I do know people that listen and listeners that will absolutely want to take note of that. So yeah,
and one card too that will be beneficial for my son Benjamin is the Ritz-Carlton Reserve card. With the Ritz-Carlton credit card, it has no annual fee for authorized users, but still provides priority pass access. And it also doesn't have a cap on the number of guests that you can bring in, unless the actual lounge itself has a cap. Whereas something like Chase Sapphire Reserve has a cap.
Right. Awesome. So let's talk through a couple things, because I would love to know, Adam, one, what are some of the most kind of memorable trips that you've taken with points that you've acquired, whether, domestically, internationally, whatever, maybe, or stays in amazing places? Because I know you have a ton of them through our conversations. And then also love to hear about some of the top cards that you hold and why. Why do you love these cards? And what else is out there?
Sure. So essentially, my wife has immune deficiency, and she also has, it's really easy for her to get motion sickness. So like when we went to California one time for visiting her brother for graduating from a school in Reading, she had motion sickness like the whole time. So it was a fantastic experience for me, but not as much for her because of her difficulties with that. So because of that, the only time I've traveled internationally since we got together is a trip that I already had booked before we got together. So it's completely eliminated international travel out of the equation. So it's all domestic travel. And even then, if it's, flying even just a little bit, it can kind of mess with her in terms of that. So we do actually a lot more staycations and driving places like DC versus, if that wasn't really a problem, because we actually haven't used frequent flyer miles for travel together in years, actually, even though I've traveled individually with frequent flyer miles apart from her. So for me, it's probably some of the best trips on points, I would say. Besides the one in India that I already mentioned, it would probably be Disney World, where we covered our hotels, our food for the majority of the food, the theme park tickets, and the flights with points, where the number one expense was tips for the restaurants that we went to. So we use the pay with points for the Chase Sapphire Reserve for 1.5 cents per point in order to cover the theme park tickets. And at that time, you're also able to put in things for the Disney dining plans. So we got the best plan that was available. For instance, we did one like the day that I proposed. We had dinner beforehand in Cinderella's Castle, and we were able to cover it with points, where I had to, pay extra for like a little tiara thing that I got for her, that I, just wanted to give her, that was like presented in the castle and stuff. But the main expense there was just the tips. So like there was a friend of mine that I stayed with. She stayed in a Disney hotel, and she was able to, because she stayed in a Disney hotel, we're able to use the pay with points, the Chase Sapphire Reserve, to also cover the dining plan and the theme park tickets. So that was, and that was probably one of my favorite times with points. Now you're not really maximizing points at 1.5 cents per point, but at that time I was still pretty low as far as real estate goes. I wasn't at the degree of success that I am today. So I was able to use the points in a time when I didn't have that much cash on hand to be able to cover expenses, to be able to do a trip that I otherwise wouldn't have been able to afford at the time.
No, I really love that you bring that up, because you know, on our show, we constantly talk about, hey, don't redeem your points unless you're going to get 2x of value or more. But I'm going to jump in and say, at the same time, use your points the way you want to use them as well, right? The way that it's going to make the most sense for you. And I know you know very, very well how to maximize points very well, but I think I would sum up the
and
same.
And I generally agree with you on the 2 cents or more.
Exactly.
For something like Chase Ultimate Rewards.
Exactly, exactly. But at the same time, you know what? Utilize points the way that makes sense for you, the most sense for you, most sense for your family, because you know what? You had an incredible experience in Disney. You said your number one expense was tips, which I don't think I've heard anyone ever say ever. All right. So the trip was nearly free outside of incidentals. And you know what? I don't think you were there, you know, having dinner in Cinderella's castle thinking, man, I could have gotten an extra half a cent per point, right? Like you're the whole time you're just like, man, we're balling right now and we didn't pay it out of pocket. So I think that's an incredible story. And for the listeners, you know, I think it's great to also know that do what makes you happy at the same time. Yes, we try to put the best advice out there, but do what's going to make you happy.
Yeah. And I think that your income level and cash reserves for the you know, for travel expenses, that does impact the kind of level that you'd want to consider, as well as, of course, the amount of points that you have. The lower the number of points you have and the higher your income level, the higher the redemptions that you should be seeking to get in terms of value per point. Yeah, so Disney was one. There's a few that would probably be, you know, very memorable. One would be five nights at this was just a staycation at the Marriott's Oceanfront in Virginia Beach. But it was five nights that was fantastic. I was a little concerned about the hotel because I saw it had a 3.9 out of five review, but the place was fantastic. It was one of the most relaxing stays that we've done. And even though I was just really concerned about 3.9, but really the place was great. The food was great. I had platinum status with Marriott at the time, so I was able to get the free breakfast there. The lounge was closed, which I really like it when I'm able to get into a lounge. So that was a little disappointing, but I knew it in advance, and it was a fantastic stay. Another example would be three nights at the Salamander Hotel in Virginia. And with U.S. News and World Report, last I checked, that's the top hotel in Virginia. Another just staycation, essentially. It's in pretty close to D.C. And basically, first two nights, we stayed from a sign-up bonus on the Choice Hotels credit card. And because they were giving you 4 points per dollar spent the first year, so was able to stay two nights there, 55,000 Choice Hotels rewards per night. And then the last night we stayed there from purchased points, where the purchased points were a little less than $300. And keep in mind that the nightly rate there for the time we were there was over $1,200 per night. So essentially, we're able to get 75% off that one night and over 90% off the whole stay because of the fact that we were using a combination of purchased points and points that were acquired from a credit card sign-up bonus. And of course, not including some of the additional expenses, like we ate other meals at the hotel, but it was a fantastic stay. Another example would be our honeymoon. So the first few nights we stayed in Richmond at the Jefferson Hotel.
Beautiful, beautiful hotel.
It's a fantastic hotel. In that case, we didn't actually use points, but we did use the Fine Hotels and Resorts collection from Amex to get some additional perks like free breakfast and things like that. And it was a fantastic hotel. Then the next 12 nights, we flew from Richmond to Vail. And with Vail, we stayed 12 nights at what is now the Hythe, I believe. At the time, it was the Marriott Mountainside Resort. And it was a Category 9 Marriott at the time, which is the highest category of Marriott. And it was a fantastic stay. The first five nights, we stayed with pay with points. from the Chase Sapphire Reserve, which, again, not the best use pay with points, but the knights then were cheaper than the latter seven knights. The latter seven knights were much more expensive for the cash rate. And so those were the knights where we used a seven knights, knights and flights package from Marriott. So back then in like the 2016-2017 timeframe, they had this fantastic deal with points with Marriott where you could get a knights and flights package that was just awesome in terms of the, you could get Alaska miles from it. You could get United miles. There was all kinds of different miles that you could get where you could get solid number of miles plus a seven night stay, and you could do it at different tiers. So we did the highest tier out of Marriott hotels and then the highest tier of Marriott hotels, that category nine. And so we were really able to maximize there because of, you know, combining the two. So that would have been another awesome stay where we were able to get an upgraded room because of my status with Marriott. Actually, I think we might have even been able to pay for an upgrade there. So, but we were able to get an upgraded room and to a mountainside with the where you could see the mountain, etc., and have a fireplace in the room. But it was great for the 12 nights. And then I would say another one of the top ones would be a 5-night stay at the Ritz-Carlton Central Park. And the Ritz-Carlton Central Park was just a fantastic spot, and we're able to get lounge access as well. And so we, with the 5-night stay, we used points. At the time, the even though it was the highest category of Marriott, it, like at that time, the categories hadn't adjusted where there was a higher category. So we were able to get it at a lower points rate. And also because we did it in an increment of five, we were able to get the 5th night free on points. And we're also at that time, Capital One Miles was in transition where when, you know, I told my wife about it, we booked it, etc. At that time, you couldn't actually use Capital One Miles for transfer partners. So, and by the time of the actual stay, you could, but we had already kind of, you know, done things before. So we used Capital One Miles when they were just worth 1 cent in order to have lounge access throughout our stay there. And so there we're able to do, you know, with a Ritz-Carlton, even at a low tier, you're able to do breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they, you know, they won't call it lunch, they won't call it dinner in the evening, but it's totally doable for lunch or dinner. Whereas a lot of other lounges, you can't really have much of a lunch per se. It's like snacks, like very minimal snacks a lot of times with lounges. If it's a, not for an airline lounge, but a hotel lounge.
Hey everyone, this is DeAndre Koch interrupting the episode real quick to let you know that if you want to travel in style and luxury, thanks to travel hacking, here's an amazing opportunity to learn how. I've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you a special discount on their in-depth online course. It busts common myths, teaches the basics, and even has advanced techniques that surprised even me. Imagine exploring ancient ruins in Italy, or sipping cocktails on a Polynesian beach, and traveling there in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. This limited time offer saves you 50%, and you even get bonus content that's not available to the public. You also get access to the private Lux Travel Hacks Facebook community, where you can grow even more in your travel expertise. Click the link in the show notes and use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout to take advantage of this huge opportunity. All right, now back to the show. Right, right. Awesome. So a lot of really great things there. Just to, one thing I do want to clarify, where you talked about pay with points and 1 year stay, because I think this will be helpful for the listeners, right? So you ended up for that one stay, I can't remember which one it was exactly. Was it it was one through Choice Hotels, you basically, just to clarify, you used points for, you know, three or four of those nights, but then the
for three nights.
And then that last night you ended up going to Choice Hotels and buying their points in bulk. So you bought however many points you needed, 50,000 points or whatever it was, and you spent $300 for that, because that night stay was only that 50,000 or 55,000 points versus $1,200 in cash. So you saved.
Right. So I spent $300 to purchase the points, and those points were able to cover that night with any, without any additional fees. And so we were able to save $900, you know, 75%.
Awesome. And that's a great thing to point out as well for the listeners, because you absolutely can do that with other strategies. Let's say you're looking to book a business class flight or a even economy, doesn't matter where, and you know that you've got, you know, 25 or 30 or 40,000 points through Chase that you can transfer over to, let's just say it's Virgin Atlantic or something like that. You can say, well, I need 50,000. I only have 40. You could transfer 40,000 points over and then buy the other 10. And a lot of these airlines have, you know, bonus times where you'll get extra points or bonus points when you purchase. So if you purchase 10, you might actually get 20 and different things like that. So I think that's a really cool thing that you pointed out there that could really help the listeners as they're trying to figure out how to navigate this world of, you know, using points. And at the same time, we don't talk about this often enough, but buying points in order to make the trip more memorable or extend your stay or whatever it may be.
Yeah, and that's a great point too about doing it during promo periods, because generally speaking, points are not worth purchasing unless it's during a promo period. There are some exceptions, but like daily getaways, for instance, is one of the best times to purchase points during the, you know, 2 weeks or so of daily getaways, when you've got all kinds of excellent opportunities to purchase points and other things like that, such as Choice Hotels rewards. That's when we purchased those Choice Hotels rewards, was during daily getaways, when I've been able to get them for around half a cent per point during daily getaways.
Now, daily getaways, do you mind elaborating more on what that is?
Sure. So daily getaways is this thing that happens every year, and it's just all different types of points and night certificates at various hotels or also car rental places. The only Hertz points that we have is ones that I purchased for my dad during daily getaways. It was this fantastic deal on points. And even after Hertz has devaluated their program since then, it was still a fantastic deal for current usage of those points, because you're able to just get very, very high value per point doing. And so there's opportunities with purchase points that sometimes you won't have with points that are only available with credit cards.
Got it. So, Adam, I'd love to talk through maybe some current strategies, right? Or what are you doing now? You're 30 cards in. Are you still opening cards? If so, what's on your radar? Yeah. You know, what is someone that has an advanced skill set when it comes to points and miles usage, how do you keep going, right? Because I think what could happen to individuals is they get maybe 3, 4, 5 cards, or hopefully they follow our newsletter and they got the list of the list in order of at least the first 10 they should get. And maybe they're there and they're like, okay, what's number 11, right? So where do you keep going at this point?
So, yes, I have a relatively massive list of cards that I still want. That said, once you get into upper tiers of the number of cards you have, there are sometimes cases where you might be denied applications for credit cards because you have too many cards going. So one thing that's important when having a lot of cards is using it with businesses, nonprofits, etc., rather than them all being personal credit cards. If you're putting all of the credit cards that you acquire on personal credit cards, not using any businesses or nonprofits or anything, you're going to be a lot more limited than if you expand to business cards, ones for nonprofits, etc. So that's been a huge part of my success with getting different cards, is including those business credit cards. And as far as where I go from here and managing all those cards, I think that there's some excellent apps and also some excellent websites for managing all your credit. Formerly Mint was fantastic. Now Mint is gone. So I can't really provide that much of an updated strategy there, because I just transitioned over to Mint the past week or two myself. But something like Mint would be excellent. If it's anything close to Mint, supposedly Credit Karma now has some of their things, but I've also heard some bad reviews about Credit Karma regarding the transition, about it not having as feature rich of things, as of resources, as Mint used to have. So something like Mint is excellent for seeing all of your like accounts in one place. Wallet Flow is another good resource for seeing exactly what cards you have. Another thing that's been really helpful to me is Award Wallet. With Award Wallet, I'm able to see what sort of points I have, when the expiration dates are, when the expiration dates are of certificates that I have, and even if the program can't integrate into Award Wallet, such as United, I believe, you're able to manually input that data, whereas it'll automatically track the vast majority of programs that I have. And I have points in tons of programs.
Yeah, I use Award Wallet as well for helping track. I will say I haven't used it personally, but I have, you know, on the financial planning and wealth management side, clients ask me oftentimes, you know, what are programs out there to help them try and track their finances and expenses and budgeting and those type of things. Mint was always my go-to that I recommended for that purpose. I believe this will also cover on the kind of seeing your accounts and everything as well. But a place I hear a lot of people transitioning to, again, haven't used it myself, can't really sign off on it, is an app called Monarch now that has a lot of those benefits. So maybe something for those that are interested and kind of heard what you said to look into. But I know from kind of tracking all of your points and such, Award Wallet is a really great tool. So I appreciate that recommendation there. So Adam, you said that you still have a list of cards of where you're going. You said that you still have, you know, things that you're adding to. A question I have for you is, for the listener that heard what you said and say, okay, well, you just said that to have everything in your personal name. I don't own a business. Can I have a business card? What would you say to that?
So if you don't have a business, then if you're going to maximize, you might even consider acquiring something like a business. But also, some people have a business without really knowing it. For instance, if you are an Uber driver, then you can have a business from that. If you are someone with a nonprofit, then you can have a credit card with that nonprofit, as long as you're getting permission, etc., from the owners for that. And there are some options with that where people in business working for someone else, or people in business working for themselves. Even if you don't have an LLC, if you're a sole proprietor in business, you can often get a card yourself, even if you're just selling a little bit of eBay on the side or something like that. So there's definitely options for business, even if you don't think you have a business.
Yeah, and I appreciate you elaborating on that, because that's exactly the point that I was going to make. And the fact that if you are someone that sells stuff on eBay, like you said, Facebook Marketplace, Etsy, a lot of these places, just by the act of doing that, it could be you sell one lawnmower a year on eBay, right? But that actually constitutes you as a business, and you're able to actually get a business credit card. You don't have to, as you said, have an LLC. You don't even have to have a federal EIN for the business. You can actually just go in as a sole proprietor and just put in your social. So just a little tip out there for those that are like, how do I get a business card if I don't own a business? Well, you might actually, and not even know it, or have the opportunity to be creative and think through, well, how can I very simply start a business that doesn't have to be a raging success, but it technically qualifies as a business. Adam, any other strategies, tips, anything kind of currently on your radar when it comes to the points and miles game that you've been playing for so long, or any maybe unique strategies with different cards that you might not hear people talk about? I think At one point we had messaged even, and you mentioned something about a Wyndham card. Any strategies that are, you think are unique for listeners to hear?
So a few things there. One thing that I would recommend is if you have multiple businesses or a business and a nonprofit, consider opening the same card with multiple different types of businesses or nonprofits. If the card is able to get two sign-up bonuses, that's definitely the case. In some cases, you want to check with the particular institution beforehand to see if that's possible, because it may not be. But there's definitely cases where you can get two sign-up bonuses for the same card while holding both by using separate businesses. And another thing that I'd recommend too is there's some cards with a cap on spending for getting certain rewards, such as the Amex Blue Business card. And it, within a one-year time frame for the same business, I was able to get two of those where they've got $50,000 caps on spending in order to get the 2X Amex membership rewards per dollar. So don't think that it's just limited to one necessarily. There are some cases it'll be like that, but don't assume so. Be sure to seek out the business to see if it would be possible to get multiples to get above what would typically be the cap.
Awesome. Awesome.
So another thing that I would recommend is consider some cards that aren't really pushed that much by some places like the Points Guy, or by a lot of other travel hackers. There are some travel hackers that are really popular that are doing things. You need to understand the advertising incentive of some of these people. And that even though they've got great content, the Points Guy is the number one person that I follow because of the volume of content. I would say 1 mile at a time is probably number two up there. But it is important to keep in mind the advertising incentive that they have and not just to trust their list of the top 10 credit cards. I do recommend getting an expert recommendation from someone rather than just relying on the Points Guy's list or something like that, because the Points Guy's list is not tailored to you, and the cards that they would recommend, even if they have something that is tailored to you, might eliminate certain cards where they're not getting an incentive for referring that card to you. And so it's very important to consider things like Choice Hotels rewards, Wyndham rewards, other places where there aren't referral links, because a lot of like individuals, it's not just the people that are the big boys like TPG. A lot of individuals are pushing cards where they're able to get referral links rather than cards where it's actually a very solid product without having referral links associated, such as the Wyndham Rewards credit card. Wyndham Rewards credit card is a fantastic card. It gets five Wyndham rewards per dollar spent on gas. It also gets five per dollar spent on utilities. Actually, it's 8x on gas, 5x on utilities, 5x on advertising. And the card is around like a $100 annual fee, I think a little less. And it comes with 15,000 points each year that you have it, as well as giving you status. The status that it gives you in Wyndham is diamond status. That matches on an annual basis to Caesars. That starts essentially a status, what they've called a status merry-go-round, where you can do things like getting free cruises, etc. And even if you don't get into all those weeds, it's a fantastic card just by itself. Even if you didn't spend anything on it, it'll be awesome. Just holding that for less than $100, getting 15,000 Wyndham rewards, that by itself would be worth it. TPG valuation for those Wyndham rewards is 1.1 cents per point. So you're already coming out more than 50% positive just by holding onto the card, just by getting those points. And it's not a certificate like a lot of places, it's actual points. So if you wanted to, you could just keep a card for 3 years and have a 45,000 point redemption if you wanted to. But it's awesome for getting the 5 points per dollar. And then the 8 points per dollar, 8 points per dollar on Wyndham rewards and gas, and 5X on utilities and advertising. It's just an awesome card. I've also got other cards for advertising like the Chase Inc. Preferred and the Amex business gold. Those get 3x and 4x respectively, but the annual fees for those are not like with Wyndham Rewards. It's higher annual fees. Actually, for Chase Inc. Preferred, it's probably around the same amount, but it doesn't have something where holding onto the card is justified with the annual fee. Whereas with Wyndham Rewards, that's the case. And so you're getting the best of both worlds, even though it's not advertised practically at all because there's no referral links associated with it.
Got it. Got it. And I appreciate you saying that. And quite candidly, we talked here even in this episode, right? We have a list of our top cards that we recommend, and they all have referral links to them. But one of the things that we do is we also have people reach out to us and talk through a personal consultation of what card should I get? What should I do next? Because we can tailor that to them specifically as well. But yes, there are also cards out there that they don't have links that are still great cards to have. And some of those, many of those I have myself as well, because of the fact that they can really take you the distance in very creative ways that you don't really hear a lot of people talking about. So I appreciate sharing that.
And one other thing I should mention too, the TPG valuations are influenced, in my opinion, by the referral links. So like the Wyndham Rewards, 1.1 cents per dollar. I never get 1.1 cents per dollar in Wyndham Rewards. The lowest I would ever want to get would be at least 1.5 cents per dollar, but it's possible to get 2, 3, 4, 5, even I think I've seen up to like 10 cents per dollar with Wyndham Rewards. So, you know, don't discount, don't just trust the TPG valuations. Same thing with Amtrak. I think their Amtrak valuation is low. Also with Choice, they only give it 0.6 cents, but you can get, you know, I think I've seen like 20 cents, a 20 cents redemption with the Chase Ultimate Awards, where 20 cents per point in value. So like Choice and Wyndham, there's a lot more value to be had than a lot of people are talking about.
Awesome. Appreciate you sharing that. Adam, I want to transition real quick. Hint on something that you mentioned at the very beginning of the show is that you work with managing cards and such for real estate agents. You mind talking a lot about that, a little bit about that, just because I'm sure we have some real estate agents that listen and follow the podcast and they are business owners themselves, right? So they have the ability to get business cards. So do you mind sharing a little bit more about that?
Sure. So I work for a firm that's got over 100 agents with it. I also, my dad has got Garrett Realty Partners, and he also has other affiliate businesses like property management by Garrett, also a contracting company, and other businesses as well. So we're able to get cards with multiple businesses, and with the business spending, it can be relatively high, where in some cases it can make sense for a business to actually hire an ongoing consultant for giving them recommendations on acquiring new cards. In some cases with, you know, in my case, I'm able to acquire a lot of those cards myself because of my place and role in the business. Also there, in some cases you'll need some ownership as well. But as someone in the family, that's something that is possible more so for me than it would be for just anybody. And so it's something that can be, you know, very beneficial for a company, especially at a high spending level, to be able to really maximize the points that they acquire through their spending, as well as the redemptions that they're able to get. Because before I ever came on the scene, we were doing a lot of spending on points, and we weren't doing bad. We were doing better than most companies out there, especially on the old Starwood credit card, where we were getting essentially 3 Marriott rewards per dollar, where that was our bread and butter as far as that goes. But when I came onto the scene, we really got diversified in the number of cards that we started using, and we also started getting a lot higher values as well as more diversified options for redeeming points, such as the Amtrak rewards for train travel. We were already doing flights, but doing it with more carriers. Also able to do hotels, which we weren't really doing before, even though we were getting hotel rewards through that Starwood card. there was plenty of value on the table. We just weren't taking advantage of it in terms of hotels. And so we've really diversified since then, also with rental cars, with, as I mentioned, with Hertz. So there's a lot of value to be had if especially high spenders, whether an individual or a business, is able to really maximize through a consultant.
Awesome. Awesome. So as we start to wrap up here a little bit, Adam, I appreciate all the things that you've shared. We've shared a lot of like higher level strategies in this episode. But my question for you would be, any advice that you'd give specifically to beginners, who are just starting out in this process? Maybe this is the first episode they've even ever heard. What would be your advice for those starting out in the points and miles world?
For someone starting out, I would say don't get into it unless you are willing to not fall into some of the pitfalls of credit cards, because it's not just about interest typically exceeding any sort of points or cash back you get. It's also about spending too much. Dave Ramsey really does make some great points that it's not just about the actual interest, but it's also about the higher spending that people tend to do. So if you're not budgeting, I'd really recommend acquiring a good budget and acquiring good tools so that you're not losing more without even knowing it if you're not paying any interest.
Awesome. Awesome. Adam, how can the listeners connect with you?
So adambgarrett.com is my real estate website. adamspoints.com is my site for points. I also have a Facebook group, credit cards and debit cards, points, miles, and cash back for free travel. And I've also got a number of other places like LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, all at Adam B. Garrett.
Awesome. We will make sure to attach all of those in the show notes as well so that people can connect with you and also maybe even join your Facebook groups. I think that's been a great community as well. And you also often give a lot of great advice and new information out there. So that's a really great place for people to go and learn more just through following the Facebook group.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam, I know that you haven't gotten a chance to do a ton of travel, it seems. I know you have an 8-week-old. By chance, I'll just throw this one out there. Any future trips planned or anything on the bucket list or horizon that you're thinking of?
Yeah, there's one that I really wanted to do before the transition, but with Turkish Air Miles and Smiles, you used to be able to do travel to anywhere in the U.S. or certain U.S. territories like Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. Also Hawaii and Alaska. You used to be able to do it for 15,000 points round trip. Now you can do it for 20,000 points, which is still a great deal when you're talking about going to Virginia to Hawaii round trip in economy for one person. So one thought that we had is to do Virgin Islands. And U.S. Virgin Islands, it's a shorter trip for my wife. So, me, I'd prefer to go to Hawaii a little bit if my wife didn't have motion sickness, because it'd be higher value. But we're going to, probably U.S. Virgin Islands once she's in a better place, kids in a better place, etc. And it's no longer 15,000, now it's 20,000, but still a great deal, where we're able to do direct or indirect travel to the U.S. Virgin Islands for 20,000 points per person using the Turkish Air Miles and Smiles, which are a transfer partner of a number of currencies like Citi or Capital One, not Amex. But with Turkish Air Miles and Smiles, we're able to get there an economy. You can also do the business or first class. That's still a fantastic deal. It's just hard to find availability with business and first class. If you can find it, take it, because it's a fantastic deal, but just hard to find that availability. So going there and then using 15,000 Wyndham rewards per night at the, there's a few places actually there where you can get over $500 in value per night using 15,000 points per night at a Wyndham Rewards hotel. Again, TPG is only valuing these 1.1 cents per dollar. So, getting that high of value per point over 3 cents per point is relatively solid as far as winner rewards goes. And so that's probably one of the top on our list.
Awesome. Awesome, Adam. Any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
It's been great to reconnect. It's been nice to be a little part of your journey and hear about that. And it's just been nice to be on the channel and appreciate you having me.
Awesome, Adam. Well, thank you so much for the wealth of knowledge that you've provided. Thank you for the advanced strategies as well. Candidly, thank you for the introduction back in 2016 to the Chase Sapphire Reserve, because honestly, I don't know where I'd be if I didn't start or if didn't grab that card 8 years ago, essentially. So I really appreciate your wealth of knowledge today and you being on the show. And, you know, excited to hear about the future trips that you have, as well as connecting with you more in the future. And I know you always provide a wealth of knowledge in that Facebook group of yours as well.
I appreciate that.
Awesome. For the listeners out there, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends. And we'll see you on the next episode. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.